The shir is dedicated to Yiluin Ishmos Rav Chaim Yisocha Ben Yechiel Zedel Dov. Shianu Yoch B'Sholom Al Meshkovo Yishit B'Yamelis Yoshefor's wonderful family. The topic we will be discussing today, once again, Masa Ovois, observing what the Torah tells us this week about what has transpired between Yaakov and Lavan and its ramifications in the Jewish history. But basically, our shiurim are not, you know, analysis of the Tanakh or Divrei Hashkofa. We will be dealing with a very concrete and unique sugya in Choshen Mishpot. And this sugya is based on a medrash. Medrash Shabbat, this week's parsha, medrash Shoichetoiv, Tehillim, Kapitel Samach, Michtom LeDovid, Bahatsoisoi es Aram Naharayim, Vaharam Tzova. And the Medrash teaches us that when David waged war against the Aramim, they said, "You are violating the covenant between Yaakov and Lavan. Eid hagal hazeh ve'eida hamatzevo im tavor elai v'ani lo avor alecha." So when David passes the border of Aram, they say, this is a violation of the agreement between Yaakov and Lavan. And David's response was, Bilam already violated this agreement. It is no longer binding. When Bilam says, Min Aram Yancheini. It is from this medrash that Chazal learn a halacha in Yoredei Reish Lamed Vov Sif Vov. An agreement must be hadadi. That is the principle of, I think it's reciprocity. If one side violated an agreement, the other side is free to do so. So the halacha that we learn in Yoredeyasim in Reish Lamed Vav Sivav, Shnayim Shenishba'u Ze Leze, a mutual shavua, a mutual oath binding two parties. One of them violated his share, the other one is no longer bound by that oath. The source of this halacha is Rabbein Yerucham, Nativ Yud Dalet. Rabbein Yerucham quoting Rash Mishans, Rabbein Shimshon Mishans, one of the great Baalei HaTosfos. And Reb Shimshon Mishans deals with Hilchos Shiduchim. So a man and a woman, a chosan and a kala, decided, and they had an agreement, that they will marry at a certain date. That date approached, and Hayeled Eineno. He just didn't arrive. He's not here. No chuppah, no wedding. So the woman decides, okay, she's going to marry someone else. So the Rash Mishans, quoted by Rebbe Yerucham, says she is entitled to do so. Because if he didn't stand up to his side of the agreement cannot be binding on a one-sided fashion. And the source of this ruling is the Medrash. So David HaMelech says, Bilam violated this covenant, it is no longer valid. Some of the Achroinim bring a different source. The Bir Agra in Reish Lamed Vav quotes the Medrash of this week's parasha, but the Bais Yosef quotes a Gemara in Sotei Daf Yud Omed Aleph regarding Shimshon HaGibbon when he is fighting and killing the Pelishtim, and he was asked, this is a violation of the covenant between Avraham and Avimelech, Im Tishko Li V'Lenini. And Shimshon says, and that's the Gemara, Kvar Huchal Shavuato, the other party, the Pelishtim, violated that covenant, and therefore it is no longer valid. The Taz and Sifkot Yud Gimel brings a third source, also Chazal, Soiti Yud Gimel Amadalaf. When the time has come for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yosef demanded a shavua from his brothers, v'helisem et atzmutai mize, Moshe Rabbeinu omed al Svat HaNilos on the Nile River, and he says, Yosef, Yosef, הגיעה שבועתו של המקום להוציא אותנו מארץ מצרים. הגיעה שבועתך. We swore to you that we're going to take your remains to Eretz Yisrael. If you show us where you are, we will take your remains to Eretz Yisrael. If not, מנוקים אנחנו משבועתך. And suddenly, Yosef's oroin floats up to the top of the Nilos, and he is taken to Eretz Yisrael. So the Taz says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you don't cooperate, we're no longer bound by this Shavua. L'anios da'iti ketalmed adan lefnei rabbi Yosef v'karka. I think the story of Moshe and Yosef has nothing to do with our halacha, because there was no reciprocity, there was no mutual Shavua in that case. Yosef's brothers swore to him that they'll bring his body up to Eretz Yisrael. He, in turn, didn't promise anything, didn't bind himself, he didn't promise to show them where he will be. So I think Moshe's argument is a very simple one and a different one. He says, Oynes lachmona patrei, if we don't know where you are, so how could we be mekayim what we promised? I mean, the time has come. We must leave Eretz Mitzrayim. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. We can't stay here forever. Time has come. So if you don't show us where your remains are, then there's not much more we can do. So anyway, one of the three sources in this week's parsha, and we will discuss this halacha. So the Rash Mishans writes regarding the question of Shiduchim. So if he didn't make it on time, she is no longer bound by this agreement, and she could marry whomever she wishes. Ad shebo zoken echod. And he said, no, you're not right. There's no difference between the party that violated the agreement and the party that did not do so. Elot sumasyad belvad. Well, the woman could demand compensation, monetary compensation, for the fact that he came late, but the basic agreement is still intact. The Vesesef writes, the Rabbein Yerucham and Rashi Mishans are right. V'oisei zoken lefi minig mekoymoi amar. Maybe the argument of oisei zoken was based on the minag, but by pure halachic ruling, one party violated his part of the oath of the agreement of the Shavua, then the other party is entitled to do so. The Ramah in Darka Moshe brings Maharival, a dissenting opinion, in Kuf Lamed Zayin Chuvas Maharival, and that is the Psak of the Ramah in Reish Lamed Vav Sivav. If he was an Oynes, he couldn't make it. He tried, but he couldn't make it. Then Oynes has a different rule, and the agreement, the oath, is still binding. Obviously, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, based on Rash Mishans and Rabbein Yerucham, is the argument of Oynes is not relevant. Oynes deserves no punishment. Person that violated the mitzvah b'Oynes, Oynes sechmona patrei. But when we are dealing with a mutual covenant, an agreement, a shavua, makes no difference whether you were an oynes or not. The other party took upon himself an obligation with certain conditions. And if those conditions don't stand, then the obligation is invalidated. And it makes no difference why you didn't stand up to your side of the agreement. That is the opinion of the Beis Yosef. Shalos HaTshuvos HaRamosim and Pei Gimel, there is a similar discussion. Shtei Kehilos BiYisrael. Two different Kehilos made an agreement. One was a Ashkenazi Kehilah. The other one, a Kehilah of Hagriyim. I don't know exactly what the translation is. Two different Kehelas swore a mutual shavua, a mutual oath, sheyu ba'aguda achas. It is not clear from the tshuva what that meant. What were the implications of this mutual oath? Was it a financial agreement? Was it a social structure? But anyway, the shavua was sheyu ba'aguda achas. Part of Kehillah number one pulled out of that agreement. And they said they did HaTorah Nedarim, they did HaTorah HaShavua, and they became independent. Then the other Kehillah argued, no, this is a violation of our agreement, so it is no longer relevant, no longer valid. The remainder of Kehillah number one said, no, we have an agreement. Some of us pulled out, but that would not totally invalidate the agreement. The Lamo, quoting the same Medrash we mentioned at the beginning of this year, quoting the Halacha, the Rash Mishans, the Lamo said, the agreement is no longer valid. It is miksho achas. And if part of it was not makuyim, then it is no longer relevant, based on the same sources. Chuvas Maharibal, Mahari ben Lev, 100 years before the Beis Yosef. Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Ches deals with another question. Sometimes, you know, when we learn Shalas and Chuvas that go back hundreds of years, we learn something about the social structure, the socioeconomic standing of people of the Jewish community in those days. So that's an interesting story we have in Chuvas Mahari ben Lev. There was a cheirim, a takonas hakehila, and a cheirim that people could not visit the homes of the gvirim, of the rich, of the wealthy, only with an invitation, probably a written invitation. What was the background of this cheirim? To our dismay, there were always balei losher. So there were evil people that, under the guise of friendship, visited the homes of the rich, of the wealthy, and they were moisrim and malshinim. And then they went to the IRS or to other branches of government. And they told the people exactly where the riches are, where the jewels are, where the gold and the silver is. And they caused tremendous suffering and damage to those people, to the wealthy. And therefore, a cheirim was issued by the kehilas that a person is totally prohibited of visiting the home of the rich, of the wealthy, unless they were invited to do so. The effect, the outcome of this cheirim was that everybody was hurt, because most of the people visiting the homes of the wealthy were decent people, peddlers and soichrim, and it was to the benefit of the rich that they come and go, and that's the way they did business. But because the devastation was so great, and they couldn't make any exceptions, and therefore the rule was a general rule, it transpired that many people didn't heed to this cheirim, and they still were coming and going. And what the Maribal was asked was, well, if so many people violate this cheirim, maybe we should totally, disqualify it and totally disregard it. The Mari Ben Lev says, the fact that some people don't heed to a takona does not disqualify the takona. Im kein ein lechot kona sakeles. I mean, there are always people, you know, that lack emunis chachomem or yiras shamayim or just basic decency. And if we will say any takona that some people disregard is no longer relevant, then there are no takonas. There would be no rules. And therefore, he said, the fact that some people disregard this takona does not invalidate the takana. It is still intact. However, his conclusion is, if the wealthy are only going to be hurt because the malshinim and the reshoim are visiting them anyway, and the only people that'll stay away are the decent ones, then in that case, if those are the consequences, then the Takora should be totally disregarded. You know, that brings to mind the word of the Kotzke Rebbe. The Gemara tells us in Broches that when Rabban Gamliel was Nosi, he said, Misha einoi toichoi kebaroi lo yekones lebeis ha-medrash. And when Rabbi Shua ben Hanani was appointed as the Nosi, he said, everybody could come in. And the Kotzke Rebbe asked, what was wrong with Rabbi Gamliel's approach when he said, Misha ein toichoi kebaroi lo yekones lebeis ha-medrash? So the Kotzke Rebbe observed with his keen and sharp eye, when you say, Misha ein toichoi kebaroi lo yekones, at the end of the day, only those that are not toichoi kebaroi were the ones that came in. Because the real toichoi kebarois never feel that they are the good and the nice and the decent. With their humbleness, they always felt, no, we're not the good guys. So, what happened when Rabbi Gamliel said, Misha ein toichoi kebaroi lo yekenes, Misha ein toichoi kebaroi, those were within, and the real toichoi kebaroi, they were the ones that sat outside. So, Mari Ben Lev says, we always have to observe with common sense what are the consequences of our tekonas, of our deeds, of our rules, and therefore, if it is self-destructive, doesn't serve the purpose, then in that case, the tekonah should be disregarded. But I think the Mari Ben Lev has nothing to do with the earlier sources that we quoted, because in the Tshuvas HaRamah, Rash Mishans, whether it's Shiduchim, whether it's Shavuos, whether it's the agreement between Avraham and Avimelech, or the covenant between Yaakov and Lavan, we are dealing with a mutual agreement, mutual oath, which binds two different parties. If one of them wasn't Mekayim his chelik, then the other one is freed as well. The sugya of the Maharibal Mari Ben Lev is a different one. It is a general oath, not binding two parties on two sides of the fence. A general oath and a general tekona, a general chedim. Some of the people don't abide, the others do, and that is a different question. What is the din of shutfim? Partnership. And one of the two partners violated the basic condition of the partnership. Does that enable the other partner to just break up the partnership, pull out of it, and you're no longer my partner? That once again is a machlokes in the Rishonim, and the halacha is in Choshen Mishpat Kufayin Vav Sif Tes Vav. The Ramah says two people that are partners in any venture, in any business, one of them violated one of the basic agreements of the partnership, the other party should call him to Beis Din, and he is entitled to demand compensation. But he cannot break up the partnership, only with mutual consent or with a ruling of the Beis Din. Velo kemi shecholek. That is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Mordechai, and there are more paskins in accordance to the Rambam. The fact that one party violated a basic condition does not enable the other party to break up the shutvus. Why would that be different than Yoredei Reish Lamed Vav, than any other mutual agreement? Well, obviously, they're not the same. When we have a mutual oath, the oath has very limited scope and relevance. Like a man and a woman, a chosan and a kala, agreed to make a chasana at a certain date. The date passed, the lady was ready, the man just didn't arrive, so it's no longer relevant. We had an agreement, the agreement is over. But shutvis is far broader than a certain deed or act being as faulty as it may be. And therefore, that is not ample reason or justification to break up the partnership. There is an interesting nesivus in Sif Kotel Lamed Gimel in Siman Kuf Ayin Vav regarding the rule, the halacha of partners, and the nesivus argues maybe there's not even any machlokes in Rishayim. So the argument of the nesivus is this halacha regarding dinei shutvim is dependent on another halacha regarding the halachas between an employer and his employees. Balabayas and Poyalim. Simen Shin Vov Seif Chet. We learn in Shulchan Aruch a person that has he's working for a public company, for the municipality, for the government, for any tzibur. And he caused damage, whether he's a Malamed Dardika, or a Seifer, or a gardener, or some other examples that are in the Shulchan Aruch. If he caused loss or damage, if we know exactly what the loss is, and we can demand compensation, then we do not have the right to fire this person without saying no, without warning. However, if the nature of the damages or losses is such that we cannot demand compensation because there's no way of knowing how big the damages are, or the damages are of nature that there is no chiyuv tashlumin, there is no obligation to compensate in that class. In that case, he is kemusra va'oimed, and he could be fired without previous warning. So then Nesiva says, marom erchodem v'marom erchovem dovelo plige. The rules of breaking up a shutvis would be the same as the halachas of firing an employee. So if the shutv caused loss or damage in which there is no basis for demanding compensation, then his shutv could say, under these circumstances, I no longer want to be a partner, and he could pull out. But if the damages are such that you could call him to basin, you could get compensation, so there's no justification for breaking up the shutvis. So maybe there's no machlokes l'shoilem at all. However, my very clear feeling is, and this is one of my basic approaches in halacha, none of the Rishonim tie together these two halachas, nor does the Beis Yosef, neither in Siman Shin Vav, where we learn the halacha of the employee, nor in Kuf Ayin Vav, where they learn the halachas of shutvim. And therefore, just as I explained a few minutes ago, that a mutual oath is not the same as a shutvis, I think there are different rules between an employer and an employee, and between shutvim. V'lav b'chod ha'machta machtinan lu. They're not the same. They're not the same b'gemora, they're not the same b'sevora. And I think it is fair to guess and assume and maintain that even in the circumstances in which an employee is entitled to send away an employer is entitled to send away his employee, a balabais is entitled to fire his worker, that does not mean that on similar circumstances a partner could break up the partnership. And therefore, I think we are learning two different distinct halachas. They are not the same, not dependent on each other. And therefore, we find Piskei Halacha dealing with breaking a partnership. Uchotcherov and Kesav HaKodeshim, Choshemish Bet Kufayim Vav, tells a story about two Jews that had a shutvis and an orenda. Orenda is inns. It was one of the most basic parnosas, Yiddish parnosas. Jews used to be innkeepers. So two Jews had a partnership in an inn, and one of the two argued that he thinks that his partner's wife is stealing, taking some beer, taking some mashke, and therefore he wanted to break up the partnership. And the Bichot Sherev Paskins, no, the Ramos says, You cannot break up the partnership. If you have claims, go to Beis Din. That is not reason to break up partnership without the consent of the other partner. Reb Moshe, Igus Moshe Choshe Mishpot Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Zayin, which is quite uncommon in Tshuvas Igus Moshe. Reb Moshe writes that he was sitting on a Beis Din Bizablo, and he was Dayan number 3, chosen by consent of both parties. And the din Torah was about 2 shutfim in a catering business, and one partner argued that the other partner is stealing. And Reb Moshe's psak is similar to the case of a kodeshim. He quotes Choshe Mishpot Kufay Vav Siftos Vav in the Ramah. Well, if you feel you're being cheated, go to Beis Din, demand compensation. But you cannot break up the partnership without mutual consent or without really convincing the Beis Din that this partnership no longer could be held together. If there no longer is a basis of trust and confidence between partners, then the partnership has no justification. However, they must work out a certain deal, and one partner cannot pull out by dictating the conditions on his own. So Reb Moshe brings the Nasivis, and his conclusion is Ein halocha kedivrei hanasivis. Me'inyan le'inyan ba'oto ho'inyan. There is another sugi in this week's parsha from which the poskim learn halocha. An additional halocha bebein odom l'chaveroi, which bears a great deal of similarity to the first halacha we were discussing up to this stage, up to this moment. When Lavan and Yaakov finally make an agreement how they will divide the sheep and the goats, and then Yaakov comes up with some ingenious idea, some secret of the genetic code, a secret in which for thousands of years, even today, we do not exactly appreciate and understand what that spark of genius was. But in a way, Yaakov really does something, and he really, really, you know, throws Lavan over the fence. And the Bali HaToisvis, Dan Zakenim and Bali HaToisvis, other swarm of Bali HaToisvis, like Moshe Zakenim, they all ask, what was the justification for Yaakov cheating Lavan and really, really, you know, ובאמת סידר אותו? So the Rivo, one of the great Bali HaToisvis, and another explanation quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim, both explain that the first party to violate the agreement was Lavan, and Yaakov just responded in his own way. And it is from here that we learn that when one person acts in an unfair and dishonest way to another, causing him losses, damages, the person that was hurt is entitled to respond in a similar fashion. Yoshov Amoloi Beroisho Valkot Kedorecha Mosoiteret Bemidesh Odamoided Modedim Lo Ya'anek Sil Ke'ivalto. Just to quote a few psukim and Mamore Chazal. So Lavan was the big cheat. He cheated on Yaakov. Yaakov just responded in a similar fashion. Ochiv ani beramos. And this is similar to what the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches regarding the Isser of Oinuah's Devorim. Any person that causes pain or suffering to another person without inflicting physical injury, without assaulting, without assault or battery, even with words, words could be painful. And that is a lav min ha'Torah nisa d'urais v'noas d'vorim. However, the Chinuch comments, if a person is abusive to others, they are entitled to respond in a similar fashion. Somebody once said, if your friend slaps your cheek, offer the other cheek. That is not our Torah. That is not our ethical code. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, no, a person is entitled to safeguard himself, his family, and respond to bullies in the way they understand. And in that case, there is no issur of inuas devarim. And that is similar to what the Rishonim, the Baalei HaTosfos, explain in the way Yaakov deals with Lavan. And that is an interesting halacha that we find in Aruch HaShulchan, Tov Yud Zayin. Tov Yud Zayin, HaChoshemishvot, is the din of Gezel Rabim. And the Shulchan Aruch says, just like a person is prohibited in stealing from a yochid or causing damage to a yochid, the same halacha applies to the Rabim. That is regarding vandalism. To our dismay, vandalism is rampant today, and it's an Isser Gomer of Gezel HaRabim. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, just like a person is prohibited to causing damages and loss and suffering to Rabim, it is also B'sheva Al Taisa. So if a person is a public servant, and he wants to go home, be a Me'a Regal and Cholamoy, to spend some more time with his family, but if he has a job to do, and that is offering a certain service to the community, to the Rabim, that overrides his personal benefits, and he cannot get home afilu letzorech haregel. Unless, and this is the halacha, that the Aruch HaShulchan proves from the Tosefta, unless he was wronged. If he was wronged, then he could decide on his own how to take advantage and how to compensate himself. And in those cases, he could leave his post, go home, spend time with his family. So these halachos are different than the sugya we discussed previously at the beginning of this shiur. Because at the beginning of the shiur, the concept or the basic principle of reciprocity means that if one side violated an oath, a covenant, an agreement, the other side is no longer bound. The halacha we are learning right now is in a case in which the employee doesn't want to step out of the agreement. No. He doesn't want to leave his job. He wants the job. He wants this, the monetary and social benefits that come along with the job. But he was wronged. And he wants to decide on his own, you know, how he will compensate himself for the official rights. Sometimes, in some circumstances, he is entitled to do so. So it is once again based on the basic principle of reciprocity, but it is different than the sources we quoted at the beginning of this year. So from two different parts of this week's parsha, from two different stories that transpired between Yaakov and Lavan, we learn two different halachas. Two halachas that are similar, but not identical. In a way, resembling each other, but not the same. And both are part of the basic principle of reciprocity of Hadadiyut Beheskemim. So on Chumash Bereishis, many times we deal with Maasei Avos, sometimes learning Musar, Derech Chaim V'Terchachas Musar, sometimes learning Halacha, in very many different areas of Halacha, or Chaim Yerodeyev and Ezan Choshemishbo. Today, we were Oisik in the Choshemishbo that we learn from the Avos, from Maasei Avos. A person must say, when will my ma'aseh match up to those of the Avos HaKadosh? So Chassidim say in the name of the great Rishon Letzadik Rabbi Saul Merujin, how could a person really expect to achieve the heights of the Avos? Mosei Agio means a lashon of negia. Will I ever be able to have a negiyah to Maasei Avos? That is the nature of Chassidus HaTorah, very far from Pshat. What is important about Chassidus HaTorah is the spirit, the warmth, the fire, not the dikduk. Obviously, the Tzaddik of Rishin was also aware that Yagiu and Yigu are not exactly the same word, not exactly the same definition or meaning. But that is his interpretation, al pi Chassidus. I think lefi Pashtus HaDvarim, yes, we could achieve the heights of the Avos, but that is the koyach of the Avos. Because what type of a father are you if your children can't reach out to you, if you're not there for them, if they don't have easy access to you? Then you're not a good father. And if Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are defined, and only they are defined as Avoseinu Akdoshim, that is their koyach, and that is their greatness, that each and every one of us could aspire to reach out to the others and be touched by them. Many times I quoted this Zohar. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. Three Avos Olam Keneged Shloshes Amudei Olam, the three pillars of our world, of our existence. Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. That is the Shlemis that we learn from Avoseinu Akdoshim. But more than anything else, the Mishnah Masechet Avos, Ezo hen talmidov shel Avraham Avinu, who are the disciples of Avraham Avinu? Well, we would guess the great Harifim and the great Bekiim, the Torah giants, Avraham Zichron v'Yosha v'Yeshiva. Or maybe we will think the Chassidim that are machmer b'dover hamutar, kiyam Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kula ad sheloy nitna. No, Chazal say, who are the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? Kol sheyesh bo ayin tova ruach nemucha v'nefesh shfelo, midos tovos, derech eretz shekadma l'Torah. Those are more important than anything else. Those that have him are Talmidim shel Avraham Avinu. Those that lack are Talmidim shel Bilam HaRosh. Eisen Talmid of Shabbiram Arosha, conscious boy in Ra. Nefesh Rechova, Veruach, Gevoya. And these three, Ayin Toivo, Ruach Numucho, Venefesh Felo, Keneged, Akino, Vatavo, Vakovoid, Shemavirim, Esa Odom, Minawoila. Ayin Toivo is a contrast to Kino. Ruach Numucho, to Kovoid, Nefesh Felo, is the opposite of Radifes Ataiv. Those are the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. So let us ask ourselves, Mosa Yagiu Maaseinu Lemasei Avoteinu. And in the weeks in which we read Chumash Bereishis, this is the time in which we could observe Masovas, we can analyze them, and we could try to understand the depth of Masovas in accordance to the interpretation of Chazal v'Gedolei HaDeiros. We should always be zoicha to be able to respond, Achen Higiu Masei Lemasei Avotai. כל ההולך בדרך אבס, אני מסכים עם אולו בזכוס אבויס. הקדוש ברוך הוא should remember for us זכוס אבויס and פריס אבויס and חסדי אבויס. ובגלל אבויס תושיע בונים וסובי גאולה לבני בניהם בביאס גואל צדק בבניין בית המקדש במהרה ובימינו אמן.